don't read your mind. Good thing. I was just thinking, how can I play all different things? Well, it's just wrapped up like this. We're the family of God. We enjoy that heritage, you say. Being faithful is fun. Being faithful is fun. Hallelujah. God's words, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why is it the pig? Who was Esau? Esau never repented. That's why. Never repented. In thy presence, Lord, I desire to be in thy presence. Here's what Psalm 16, okay? Are you trying to let me finish the thought that I was saying?
Shall find me.
when you shall search for me. We will wait, and I will rest. I will be found with you, therefore. Read verse 13 out loud. And you shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all of your heart. I have a little X right there at the end of that verse, and down at the bottom of the page, I'll tell you what it means. And I put that X there for it, and I wrote, and that will be found when you have found me. I preached a sermon a long time ago about David and his prayer for the faith. And Jacob didn't know that he was looking for a friend, that he was looking in a strange way. He was a fugitive, he was a wanderer, he was running, but never was always going from God. If Adam and Eve were driven from the garden of Eden, man had always run from God. Isn't that interesting? And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. If we were to have received word that there were a diamond out here, or a half moon out here in the yard, what would be your first thing in the morning? Every last one of us that didn't have good work, we would do it out there on our hands and scratching. That's the same thing. That's what I'm saying to each other's back here. I'm talking about scratching the ground, searching for a half-million dollar ring. Amen. It's true in human nature. God says, when you search for the gift, Jesus said it myself in the first chapter of Matthew, that a merchant went forth searching for it. For a fine jewel, for gems, and fine stuff. And what did he do? He sold a diamond. And he just sold everything. He went back to the market. Sold everything. And went back and bought that young man. You have to wait. Have the attitude of mind and the attitude of heart to seek the Lord and to call upon his name. And the search for him. But I promise you, we shall find him. He shall be found. Hallelujah. And here we read of the story of the divine pursuit of God. I mean, the hounds of heaven were turned loose upon Jacob, and they pursued him for 27 odd years. And finally, he was touched. Amen. That's our story tonight. It's our message. David cried in my presence, O Lord, I desire. And we're going to see that tomorrow. The third day of Jesus' life, it is with the Spirit of the Lord when Jesus has shot the angel of the Lord, that's his fire. That's the fire of his fire and crippled him. This antagonist became the antagonizer. He just followed the path of that temple. We antagonize the Lord through the mouth, and we cry out, yea, and they are. We agonize. We desire him. I promise you, he's right there. Amen again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Genesis 32, okay? What I promise you, I have things to say tonight. I'm just leading up to what I have to say. Genesis chapter 32. Here it is. Verse 24. Genesis 32. What have we talked about now? We've talked about the prayer of great prophets. We've talked about searching for the Lord and finding him. We've talked about his presence and how sweet it is to be in his presence. We've enjoyed the spirit of the Lord tonight, and we understand that if we seek the word of the Lord, that's what we're talking about. We're going to look at Jacob. We're going to see how that in the days of his life, a matter of him was greater in the beginning. Why? Because he was touched by the power of God. And Jacob was not alone. There was still a man with him as the refreshing of God. Verse 25, we read this, that he touched the power of God, touched the power of his thigh. Verse 26, and the angel cried, "Let me go, for the day is breaking forth." Jacob said, "I will not. I will not let you go." And let that
message tonight. I pursue him. I pursue hard after him.
I desire him.
Bring him. Bring him. And Jacob was a young man, bring him. But that's a young man. Bring him. A young man, bring him. A fugitive, a wanderer. And he spent his very first life alone, away from home. My little takes him in the sixth place. He makes a pillar of a child. And we see in this first day of his life, there is a vision of Capstone. And it is a beautiful vision of the Lord. And put that to chapter 28, that way. Chapter 28, Genesis 28. And you can read it for yourself. Verses 10 through 15. Verse 13 says, "And behold, the Lord stood above the earth, and said, Come out from the Lord God of Israel, thy father, and the God of Isaac, the Lord whereon thou wast, to thee I will give it to thee and thy seed." Isn't that sweet? Isn't that sweet? Now verse 15, "And behold, I am with you." I am with thee and will keep thee in all places to which thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, that I will not leave thee." What shall you God is fallen God at the Jacob. God could see something in the man that men could not see. At the age of 12, when I was born in the Bible, I was the church and taught up and surrendered my heart to Jesus. That's how I was taught. God could see something in my heart that no one else could see. And the man God sees in your heart tonight, God is God, not David Rashid. He's the God of David Rashid, the great man. The prophet that Saul was a man who prepared and chosen above all else. And Israel chose Saul to be their king because he was such a saintly man. He was there and said, "Why did God choose David?" I said, "You are, because David was a sick man." David was a gift.
What a place.
All right, let's see what the second day of this is like. This is the death when we see it face to face. And we see it in verse 22. Just this is verse 22, and Jacob is left alive and dead. Wrestled with the man and did the mighty of the day. All right, the hour is closing in. God has finally given you this hour prayer. And he's going to touch it. Hallelujah. God sees the beginning, and the ending of his life. And after 20 years of dealing with him, all of a sudden he's gone. Praise God. Although it takes pressure from above and pressure from within to push him into your corner. Let me ask you something. Look at me. Can you name the place where you got? Can you name the time and when was the time called you? I was a senior in high school, 1955. Friday morning, and W.F. Cooper and I were still in Houston here. And I was in for a while, you guys, long enough to know what that is. Good girls. I was 17 years old. And try and ask that we could get a space for the best step up. I remember too. And we were doing well until the sheriff came up with his regulation bill. All of us told you this, I never told that either. I knew that I bailed off that point and I found myself running through the woods. I said, try and ask me in the clock. All right, you did it. Did a good job. It was sweet. And 2 hours later, and 5 hours later, the plane was flying through the ground. And I took it in the midnight hour. I said, this is a map of this. I said, God, that
was
the Lord,
my mind,
I said, God, you were delivered.
I was scared,
and I was afraid to death. I didn't do anything wrong in my life. These kids were acting like this today or something, but we were almost caught. I was delivered out of that. By good lady, God's mercy is true. I ran out all that night. But 2 minutes down, the very first season, and brother, your heart made a bad God. You have never been dead from the hands of the Lord. I served you, or I did not even have that. You stepped on, see me. That's true. I have made a dedication that life that is stuck. I've had a bad review camp all these years. I've embarrassed myself. All right. Can I stop it? The fact is, you're still over here. What are you doing? Where were you? What kind of condition were you in? Physical, mental, spiritual? Rest and then a sinner? And God has found that aspect into a corner. And those hands are between us. And we surrender to God. Didn't we? Here we see where Jacob is again alone. He has the pressure of his family. He has the pressure of his brother coming to kill him. Who are you here? And we find him crying out to God. Look at verse 12 now. Genesis 35 and 12. And God, you said, God, you said, you said, I will surely do this right. It starts with a prayer. Brother and sister, it starts with a prayer. And we see here the very first deal in the event that leads up to the second day of Jacob is prayer. He prays. God, he prays. And I see that God. Do you see it? You said you would take care of me and my seed would be able to stand in the sea, which every one of us has to do. I said, nation that gave you and gave you all your faith in his name. And we have told you that he made his own power. And I will fall human nature. Hallelujah. He is the divine one to touch you and bring you to the love of the men. The God which is the ability is that I gave you by the name of the God of the great day one. It was very important. Yes. I mind his mama. That's what I did. God said, I touch you. Wherever you go here to place you by, you just hang it up. Get the hand. I touch you by the hand and bring you to the other. It is a free man. I'm talking about pride and rest and sin. I'm talking about the nature of man that refuses to follow submissively. But one woman, you cannot wrestle in the flesh is amazing how we hold on our own against God. Look at verse 25. Do you get the message? Does everybody get the message? The rest of us. I'm not going on until I see you do this. You don't need to go on until you get this part. Thank you, guys. I'll come here and just follow you right on. The message is the same as the way that it there will be a battle on your hands. When you decide right here, when you decide right here to turn to God right here, you're in for a battle. Because the enmity that God, the spirit of hell that is in you, the spirit of flesh, will react. And there will be enmity, there will be war between you, the flesh, and God. But then God asks us to let the God that speaks of life in Christ Jesus is more strong and more powerful than the law of sin and death. And when the law of life in Christ Jesus commands us, the law of sin and death surrenders. And this is the spirit of life in the second day of Jacob's law. So there was a wrestling match, and the scripture tells us in verse 25 that daylight was coming, and the scripture says that the angel touched the battle of his side. Because of the thing that this man, or if you haven't heard anything of this man, whichever way, he is the great man. Yes! Absolutely.
Jacob's life, we find him broken and contrite. We find him haunted, and he is crippled, and he spends the rest of his life hobbling and crippled. Why? Because he was touched. Will you let God touch you tonight? Whatever your strength lies, perhaps it's your intellect. Perhaps it's the power of reasoning to get to God. But you need a touch from God tonight. Let him take it. Let him take your life. Perhaps it's religion.
I know a lot about religion. I've lived in religion for 20 years. I have seen religion just melt away. And doctrines just melt away. And I've seen Jesus take its place. You've got to have your doctrines and you've got to have your religion, I'm sure. But what's most in my heart is Jesus. Jesus, touch my strength so that my strength shall become weak. So that you shall be my strength. And I shall not depend upon my intellect. Hallelujah. Father, I want my name changed tonight. I want my nature changed tonight. I don't want to be a rogue, a cheat, a sinner, a supplanter. I want to be a prince from God. Hallelujah. And number two, the most important thing I'll say tonight is this. The measure of our submission to Christ, the measure of our submission to Christ will be the measure of our victory in Him.
How many of you want to change names? Mark, do you come on back to the keyboard shop. I want you to play that old Baptist hymn that we all learned as kids. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, and I am the clay. Folks, look at Brother H's as we conclude tonight. Just, I want to use you as an illustration. Not Eric, but because he was 12 years old. I've seen this young man go through his teenage years. And in those years, he was just as rebellious as the rest of us. But something down in his heart was stronger. I had a man in my church at home. His name is called LeBron. Noah LeBron. If there ever was a man that the Proverbs calls foolish, it's Noah. Now, people, he has given me permission to use this illustration. The lowest that a man could be, I've seen his life change to become one of my closest friends. And he has cried on my shoulder year after year after year. He'd say, Pastor, I am sinning and I know it, but I can't help it. But tonight, he's a doorkeeper in the house of God. Eric, we love you, son. You're like one of the children. And you've got your Noah in your family. And you've got your Eric in your family. You've got some of them. Just keep loving them. Keep loving them. Keep praying for them. You be the example. And I promise you one day, the hounds of heaven will bay me up and they'll come. And they will resist the Lord. The love. Pray for a third day experience in your life. Pray for a third day experience in your life. Would you close your eyes and pray this prayer with me right now? Oh God, say it. Oh God, give me a withered sinew. God, cripple me now. God, conquer my spirit now. Eric sings. We want God to touch your strength. Stand up and come on down to this altar and pray. You want God to touch you tonight. Come to this altar. You want God to touch you. Let me have a third day experience as Jacob had. Give me a broken heart, God. Let my heart to make me new again. Let my heart to make me new again. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my sins, God. Cleanse me of my ways that are not pleasing in your sight. Make me as one of thy hired servants tonight, O God.